In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the source of truth and life and love, we thank you for the heritage of learning which has come to us from the past, whereby our knowledge has been increased, our life enriched, and our joy made more abundant. Grant us true humility, that we may not be disdainful of whatsoever is true in that which is new, but loving you with our whole mind, may we rejoice in the accumulation of all true knowledge and use it in the service of our fellow man, to the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. It is my privilege as president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, to welcome you to this evening of celebration as we celebrate the accomplishments of the graduates of the class of 2017, the 171st academic year of this seminary. The Lord continues to bless us richly and beyond anything that we deserve, particularly by sending us students who are of the highest caliber and who have the deepest commitment to Christ and his gospel and are determined to share it with a world that needs to hear of the salvation he has prepared for them through his all-availing life, suffering, death, and glorious resurrection. It is also an opportunity to recognize the gifts that God has given to his church at large. There will be a number of awards that we give to recognized persons over the course of the evening. And one of the great blessings that we enjoy tonight is welcoming a dear friend from the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church in Germany, who has studied at our seminary a number of years ago and has served faithfully as a pastor in the area of Berlin, Germany, and Steglitz, Germany. And now we welcome him back, the Reverend Dr. Gottfried Martens, as our commencement speaker. And so please join me in welcoming Dr. Martens.
Dear future pastors, dear future deaconesses, dear future doctors and professors, dear present sisters and brothers in Christ, you are the future of the church. Is it this what you expect to hear in a commencement speech? If you expect this, I have to disappoint you. You are not the future of the church. I am not the future of the church, and I've never been it. If you want to know who is the future of the church, you should listen to Martin Luther, who has never been the future of the church either. But he has put it very precisely. It is not us, after all, who could preserve the church. Our ancestors have not preserved her, and our offspring will not preserve her either. But it has been him, it is him, and it will be him who says, "I am with you always to the end of the age." You are not the future of the church. Fortunately not. But as you are going to serve in Christ's church in the future, you are allowed to know that you work in an enterprise with an eternal sustainability. You cannot say this about any other enterprise on earth. But it's true that you work in the enterprise with the best future prospects that you can imagine at all. Well, I do not directly speak of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, even though I'm totally convinced that the confessional Lutheran Church is, humanly speaking, the church of the future. But I speak of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church in whose service you are called and will be called and who cannot be overcome even by the gates of hell. That's a good basis for a lifelong ministry, that's for sure. But as we are not the future of the church, we have to concede that Christ very often builds his church against all our plans and expectations, and often enough against all our efforts. Christ is not the religious background music for our own efforts to build the church as we would like to see her. But often enough, he slams doors in front of our nose before he starts to open them again. It is 25 years ago that we realized in our work at St. Mary's Lutheran Church in Berlin-Zehlendorf that after the breakdown of the Soviet Union, more and more Russian-German migrants came from the former Soviet Union to Germany. We visited them in their camps, brought coffee and cake to them, even performed a Christian puppet play for them. I think we were pretty good. But nothing happened. Nobody came to church. Nobody wanted to be baptized. Well, I said, we have tried it at least. Now we know they do not want to come. Let's look for a different task that we might tackle. But while we were still looking for this new task, suddenly 12 Russian Germans came to us after a church service and told me that they wanted to be baptized. Well, they knew almost no German, and I only knew yes and no, da and niet in Russian. Aside from words like vodka, which were not too helpful for the baptismal class. Well, I tried to teach them Luther's catechism with my hands and my feet, and I have no idea until today how much these 12 understood. But finally, I baptized them. And they were followed by another 400 people, so that we often heard more Russian than German in our church. We had to give up first before Christ wanted to start. 9 years ago, two Iranian Christians came to our church in Zehlendorf. It is always nice to have a few Persians in the church. Then you can show that you are very tolerant and open-minded. There were just two Iranians for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years. Nice, but nothing special. I did not expect anything from these two guys anymore. But then finally a third gay came, and then a fourth one. And then I baptized my first Iranian almost 6 years ago. Then I baptized the first female Iranian a couple of months later. Matt Harrison preached on this Sunday in our church. I do not know whether this has been the reason, but during the following weeks, more and more Iranians came to our church and wanted to be baptized. 1 year later, we had almost 100 of them in our church, and they were in the strange habit of coming to church every Sunday. Looked like a big success, don't you think so? A couple of weeks later, I found a letter in my pastoral office. Members of our congregation had collected signatures telling me that I do not care about the real congregation anymore, that I only love the refugees, and that the members of the congregation are not willing to accept this any longer. 1 day later, the board of elders approved of this letter as well, telling me that I should send these refugees away so that everything could be as nice as before in the congregation. I told them that if they sent the refugees away, I will go with them. And thus I had to go. Just 4 years ago, I had come to naught in my work. I had totally failed in what I had done all the years before. People with whom I had worked for more than 20 years did not want to know me any longer. I had to move to an old church building some miles away, which we had wanted to tear down several times before because it was in such a bad condition, and almost nobody wanted to go to the worship services there anyhow. Many laughed at me and told me that I would be without job within 6 months, just having a group of Iranians and Afghans with me who would certainly disappear pretty soon again. That's how our refugee work started in Steglitz, as a result of a deep disillusion, as a result of a failure that absolutely brought me to my limits. That's how Christ begins to build his church, showing us that we ourselves are certainly not the future of the church. Think of it. If you realize in your work that things go totally different from what you planned and expected, Christ has his own very special sense of humor. Meanwhile, we have more than 1,500 members in our church in Steglitz, 1,300 of them being refugees from Iran and Afghanistan. What did we do? I tell you, we celebrated the Lutheran Mass. At first once a week, then twice a week, meanwhile three times a week. We used the advantages that we have as Lutherans, that you cannot only hear but see something in the worship services, vestments and liturgical gestures, that you can feel something when the pastor puts his hand on your head and forgives you your sins, that you can feel something when you receive the holy body and blood of Christ in the holy sacrament with your mouth. If you do not speak a word of German as a refugee, you are pretty lost in a Protestant preaching service. But you know why you travel to church for 3 hours, as many of our members do, if you get the holy absolution and the medicine of immortality there. It was not us, but Christ himself who built this congregation by word and sacrament, not by fancy inventions, not by clown ministries, but simply by the gifts that he himself distributed. What did we do? We taught the contents of Martin Luther's small catechism in baptismal classes. We simply taught law and gospel, and the refugees realized that this is the real contrast to Islam that they were looking for, not as close to Islam as the reformed stuff that quite some of them had experienced before as well. Never forget these treasures that we have in our Lutheran church. Do not get talked into thinking that these treasures are an impediment for missions. If you see the hundreds of young Afghans and Iranians in our church reverently receiving Holy Communion every week, you understand that this is not true. We have much more to offer than Joel Osteen. And do not forget what you have learned here at Concordia Theological Seminary during the last years. Sometimes people think that doing missions means to forget theology. Nothing could be more wrong than this. I've never had to do so much theology in the classes and conversations in my congregation as now with my Iranian and Afghan refugees. Refugees are not simple-minded and stupid. Our Iranians and Afghans know their Bible, and they like to discuss theology. You really have to know the formula of Concord when you lead the Farsi Bible class on Saturday and they begin to ask questions. And you experience again and again that the Book of Concord is not an old book, but so topical that it can answer the questions of former Muslims in the 21st century as well. And you really have to know your Bible. If they start to compare Bible quotes or ask you about some expressions in the letter of Jude, of course, it is good and necessary to continue your theological studies, whether you will be a pastor or a deaconess. But never forget to be grateful for the theological basis that was laid in your lives during these years here in Fort Wayne. As a former Fort Wayne student, I know what I'm talking about. We as pastors and deaconesses are not the future of the church. We will not be able to effect faith in one single person. And even less are we able to decide who should come to our churches and who not, who seems to fit to our congregations and who not. Christ might have totally different plans for you and your congregation than what certain church growth programs try to tell you. I've always worked in parishes in rather wealthy parts of the city, but the people who joined our church were always people from the bottom of society. I still remember a rich lady from our congregation in Zehlendorf leaving our church with the words, now they begin to take everybody here. She could not have made a better compliment to us. Our Lutheran church is not a middle-class church, and we do not ensure our future by looking for new members with a decent salary. I cannot deny that we are grateful in Steglitz for American donors with a decent salary as well. We depend on miracles in our work, but it is so helpful to learn to pray the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer every day anew. Just pray for the daily bread, for nothing more. And ask God to open your eyes that you begin to realize the wonderful promise that he has given to us in Matthew 25, that we serve the Lord himself by giving food to the least of his brothers who are hungry, by giving drink to the least of his brothers who are thirsty, by welcoming the least of his brothers who encounter us as strangers and refugees, as migrants in our cities and neighborhoods. It is central for our faith that we encounter Christ himself in his word and sacrament, receiving his gifts for eternal life. But it is such an encouragement for our faith as well to realize how we encounter Christ in brothers and sisters who are treated like the garbage of society, who are defamed and calumniated, whose lives seem to have no value. It is not a sacrifice to work with these people. It is an incredible blessing. I am sure that Christ our Lord is willing to open many doors in the work with these people here in the United States as well. Do not try to lock these doors again just because life in the congregation could be a little bit cozy afterwards. Gemütlichkeit is certainly a German word, but it is not a Lutheran word. And if you work with Christian refugees who had to leave their countries because of their faith, you can learn a lot from them how to live in a society that increasingly becomes anti-Christian in Europe and in the United States as well. We have experienced in Germany that our Lutheran church has gotten the reputation of a refugee church all over Germany during the last years. Not in spite of our theology, but because of our clear theological stance. Nobody is so crazy to suffer persecution for the values of liberal theology. I encourage you to have open eyes and open hearts for the blessings that might expect you around your churches in places that you would not usually notice at all. Never forget, the church is built by Christ, not by our personal preferences. You are not the future of the church, dear future deaconesses and pastors, but you are a great blessing and a great gift to the church, that's for sure. Christ does not want to build his church without you, even though he might have to build his church also in spite of you from time to time. But he wants to use your mouth, your hands, your arms and legs, your ears to reach people who so urgently need the gospel and to encourage those whom he had already led into his flock. He does not want to preserve and build his church without your ministry, without your skills and gifts. And he knows how to use you. Maybe it will just be your task to sow out the seed without seeing much fruit. Success is not a mark of the church, let alone that we are saved by success or church growth figures. In any case, Christ will have you experience in one way or the other that you are not the future of the church. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's how Christ builds his church. That's how he builds his church with you as well. Thanks be to God. Amen.
establish the Miles Christi in order to recognize and honor laymen and women in the church who have distinguished themselves in a special field of human endeavor, and who, in keeping with 2 Timothy 2, verse 3, have displayed the characteristics of a good soldier of Christ. President Rast, I present to you Mr. W. Paul Wolf of Fort Wayne, Indiana. Born to Lutheran parents in nearby Avila, Indiana, Paul Wolf was baptized and confirmed at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in that town. His father owned the general store in town, and his mother was a school teacher, so education, business, and church were part of his daily life as a child growing up. His first job was at his father's store for 35 cents per week. Graduates, I assure you, you will make more than that. It is already there that he developed knowledge in merchandising, a strong work ethic, and an understanding of Christian stewardship. His specialized education came at the International Business College, where he majored in accounting. During the Korean War, he enlisted in the United States Air Force. Following specialized training, he was assigned to the United States Air Force Director of Intelligence Office at the National Security Agency in Washington, D.C. After serving in the Air Force, he began his banking career as a bank examiner for the Department of Financial Institutions, examining banks in the northern half of Indiana for 5 years. He served the next 39 years with Home Loan Bank in Fort Wayne, including 29 years as president and CEO until his retirement. During these years of service in banking, he also gave generously of his time and expertise in many leadership roles in the Lutheran community and the Lutheran Church. For example, he was a treasurer for Peace Lutheran Church and School, often maybe doing that after a long day at the office. He was president of the Foundation Board of Associated Churches of Fort Wayne, director of the Board of Directors of the Community Foundation of Greater Fort Wayne, Foundation Board member of the Sacred Heart Nursing Home in his hometown of Avila, a member of the Citizen Board of Directors for the University of St. Francis, even helping out the Catholics. He also assisted in many years with the weekly Worship for Shut-In televised service that now originates from a studio on the campus of this seminary. He also has generously given of his time and fiscal wisdom to this seminary as a member of our finance and investment committees. Moreover, he and his wife, Carolyn, have been generous supporters of this seminary, helping with many projects, as we recently celebrated in the dedication of the W. Paul Wolf Lantern. For those of you who do not know what that is, if you look in the library, the upper part, it's the second big part of that building that sticks up. That is the W. Paul Wolf Lantern. Paul and Carolyn have been blessed with 4 children and 6 grandchildren, and are currently members of Concordia Lutheran Church here in Fort Wayne. Paul is truly an example of a Miles Christi, a soldier of Christ who has honored our Lord through his service to Christ and this community. President Rast, for his honorable service to our country in the United States Air Force, for his contributions to the well-being of the Fort Wayne community through his vocation as a banking executive, as well as his willing sharing of wisdom and expertise on several area boards, for his exemplary service to Lutheran congregations and the Worship for Shut-In television broadcast, and for his generous commitment to the mission of Concordia Theological Seminary, informing servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, who reach the lost, and care for all. It is my honor to recommend Mr. W. Paul Wolf for Concordia Theological Seminary's annual Miles Christi Award.
As president of Concordia Theological Seminary, and upon the recommendation and concurrence of the faculty and Board of Regents, it is my joyful privilege to confer the Miles Christi Award with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto upon Mr. Paul Wolf.
President Rass, I present to you Artis Behrendt and daughters Elizabeth DeSalvo and Sarah Holman, who are present on behalf of husband and father, Mr. John Behrendt, who is formerly of Fort Wayne, Indiana, but now is in the presence of Christ and his saints. Shortly after his birth in Newton, Kansas, John Behrendt became a child of God in holy baptism at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in nearby Peabody, Kansas. He grew up even further west in Gillette, Wyoming, where he was confirmed at Trinity Lutheran Church. He completed his Bachelor of Science degree in education at Montana State University in Billings. It was while he attending a young adults group at church during his final year of college that he met Artis Ann Howe, a young school teacher from New Haven, Indiana, who was teaching in Billings. After graduation, he taught a year of high school in Alberta, Canada, until his marriage to Artis in 1966. Together, they moved east to Ohio, where John taught briefly at Lutheran High West High School in Rocky River, until joining the United States Air Force and serving our nation from 1967 to 1971. During these years in the Air Force, he completed his Master's of Science in Business Administration at Central Missouri University. He and his family then moved to New Haven, Indiana, where he began his long career at Lincoln National Life in Fort Wayne, working in various executive positions for 30 years, including founding Lutheran Financial Advisors in 1984, of which he served as president until 1993. After retiring from Lincoln, he helped found Phillips Financial Management in 2004, serving as its first chief investment officer and chief compliance officer until 2008. John was a lifelong Lutheran and a longtime dedicated member of Zion Lutheran Church here in Fort Wayne, where his life in Christ was nurtured and flourished. He not only served in his local congregation, but also in several leadership roles for our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He was a member of the LCMS Board of Higher Education from 1998 to 2004. He was chairman of the LCMS Board for Pastoral Education from 1998 to 2004. And that board works closely with the two seminaries, obviously. And very close to home, he was a respected member of our own Board of Regents for Concordia Theological Seminary from 2012 to 2016, also serving on our seminary's finance and investment committees from 2011 to 2016. John was a dear friend of this seminary, known and respected by the faculty, administrators, and regents alike. He was a wonderful example of a Miles Christi, a soldier of Christ who trusted in Christ and who honored Christ with his life. After a battle with leukemia, John was called to be with the Lord on November 26, 2016. He and Artis were married for 50 years, and their marriage was blessed with two daughters, Beth and Sarah, who are here, as well as five grandchildren. Dr. James Vells, a mutual friend who knew John for decades, also present here, shared these words with me, and I quote, "John Berendt was perhaps the finest man I have ever been privileged to know. He was smart, wise, thankful, helpful, and very, very generous. But it's not important what I think of John. Indeed, it's not important what you all think of John. The only thing that is important is what God thinks of John. And here is what God thinks. John in his baptism stood justified from sin. In his baptismal life, he participated already now in this life in the age to come. And in that baptism, he received the promise of the glorious final resurrection, which now he can already glimpse." End of quote. President Rast, for his service as a high school educator, for his honorable service to our country in the United States Air Force, for his skilled work in the Fort Wayne community for decades in the investment business, for his service on boards of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod concerned with pastoral education, including the Board of Regents of this seminary, and for his strong commitment to the mission of Concordia Theological Seminary, informing servants who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all, it is my honor to recommend Mr. John Berendt posthumously for Concordia Theological Seminary's annual Miles Christi Award to be received by his beloved wife and our dear friend, Artis Berendt.
As president of Concordia Theological Seminary and on behalf of the Board of Regents and the faculty, it is my privilege to confer the Miles Christi Award posthumously upon Mr. John M. Berendt. Artis, this award is but a small token of our deep respect and heartfelt appreciation for John, for you, and for the entire family.
The Alumnus of the Year Award has been established by the Board of Regents of Concordia Theological Seminary to honor a graduate who has distinguished himself by faithfully shepherding the people of God with excellence in preaching, teaching the faithful, and reaching the lost, while also strengthening his alma mater by recruiting, publicizing, and supporting the seminary's mission. President Rast, I present to you the Reverend Larry A. Peters of Clarksville, Tennessee. A native of Wausau, Nebraska, Larry Peters was blessed with a rich heritage of Lutheran theological education. He graduated from St. John's College in Winfield, Kansas in 1974, and from Concordia Senior College on this campus in 1976. He is a distinguished alumnus of Concordia Theological Seminary, being awarded the Master of Divinity degree in 1980. His vicarage year was served at St. John Lutheran Church in Sayville, New York, and his first call was to Resurrection Lutheran Church in Cairo, New York. He served there 13 years before accepting the call to be senior pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, where he has faithfully served for the past 24 years. His exemplary pastoral ministry over the past 37 years is evident in his long tenures at both of these congregations, His marriage to Amy has been blessed with 3 children, Joseph, Rachel, and Andrew. And I hear that they are celebrating their wedding anniversary tomorrow. Pastor Peters has contributed to various theological journals, served as an author and hymn writer for Concordia Publishing House. He has served in various capacities in our synod, the LCMS Commission on Worship, assisting in the introduction of 2 hymnals and 1 worship supplement for the LCMS. He has been a presenter at this seminary's Good Shepherd Institute and the LCMS Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music. He has been a contributing author to forthcoming resources for worship, including the Hymnal Companion for Lutheran Service Book and a volume of Bible studies based on the Lutheran Service Book hymns, forthcoming. Pastor Peters has served the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as a circuit visitor, both in New York and now in Tennessee, on district and synod convention floor committees, and is now a member of the LCMS Commission on Constitutional Matters. The Reverend Dr. Roger Pavola, president of the Mid-South District of the LCMS, shared these words with me about our honoree. And I quote, "Pastor Peters has, by God's blessings, led his congregation to become one of the largest congregations in the district, all while he has been tirelessly dedicating time to national and international missions, serving as a circuit visitor and a member of the LCMS Commission on Constitutional Matters. His leadership and pastoral heart are a great asset to the Mid-South District of the LCMS, its congregations, and its church workers." End of quote. President Rast, for his faithful service as a parish pastor in New York and Tennessee for the past 37 years, for his service to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on the district and synodical level, especially as a circuit visitor, caring for brother pastors and sister congregations, for his contributions as an author and hymn writer who has wonderfully integrated the theology he learned from the scriptures with the doxology sung in worship, and for his long-standing support of the mission of his alma mater, Concordia Theological Seminary, to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all, it is my honor to recommend the Reverend Larry A. Peters for Concordia Theological Seminary's Alumnus of the Year Award.
As president of Concordia Theological Seminary, and on behalf of the Board of Regents and the faculty, it is my joyful privilege to confer the Alumnus of the Year Award, with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto, upon the Reverend Larry A. Peters.
One of our Master of Arts candidates, Ellie Konetsky, is not with us today because she is with the Lord. The Lord brought her out of her suffering, and her funeral was just this past Wednesday. We will confer her degree today posthumously. And I ask Dr. James Buescher, our Director of Deaconess Formation, to share a few words with you today about Ellie.
At a time in life when many seek rest and retirement, Ellie Louise Konetsky sought to pursue the deaconess vocation and as a way to fulfill her passion for the study of theology and for service in the church. While Ellie could have joined the distance program, she was determined to become a residential student and experience the fullness of campus life. Ellie began her studies in the spring of 2015, embracing the academic rigors of theological education and befriending her younger classmates. Ellie became a mother figure for many of our international and MDiv students and a big sister to her fellow Deaconess students. Successfully completing her studies in the spring of 2016, Ellie was assigned a Deaconess internship at St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Arlington, Wisconsin. Ellie began her service at St. Peter's in the summer of 2016. However, in November of that same year, Ellie was diagnosed with cancer and faced profound challenges when she learned that her condition was grave. Yet in the midst of her distress, Ellie clung to Christ and became a faithful witness to the victory of the resurrection and the hope of everlasting life. Indeed, the theology of Christ crucified, which she eagerly contemplated in the classroom, now became the mighty fortress in which she found refuge from every attack of sin, death, and the temptations of the devil. Due to the advanced stage of her cancer, Ellie returned to her home in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, and the care of Pastors Timothy Meck and John Berg. As they provided pastoral care for Ellie, both pastors sought to bring her desire for the deaconess vocation to fruition. Ellie was commissioned and installed as deaconess of Trinity Lutheran Church in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, on January 8, 2017. The deaconess office is a vocation of mercy, and while Ellie could not perform great works of mercy for others, nevertheless she fulfilled her deaconess vocation by the way she embodied the mercy of Christ, enduring her suffering with courage, patience, and a peaceful spirit. Christ's divine power was finally perfected in Ellie's weakness just last week on May 8th, the day of her death. Ellie's faithful witness in the face of death is a vibrant seed that continues to bear fruit in those who knew her, and her persistent confession of Christ in the midst of great adversity remains an inspiration to her family, her church, her community, and this seminary. And so today we give thanks to God for Ellie's presence among us, for her faithful witness to Christ, and for her sincere service of the church. And we look forward with great expectation to that day when we will rejoice with her and with all the saints in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Requiescat in pace, rest in peace, Ellie Louise Konecki. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
Will the candidates for the degree of Master of Arts please rise? President Rast, as Academic Dean, I hereby certify that the candidates for the degree of Master of Arts as listed in the commencement program have satisfactorily completed or will complete during the summer sessions the requirements for graduation prescribed by the faculty and the Board of Regents of Concordia Theological Seminary. I present them to you by authorization of the faculty to be awarded the degree of Master of Arts.
Upon the authorization of the faculty, with the concurrence of the Board of Regents, I, as President of Concordia Theological Seminary, hereby confer upon the candidates here presented the degree of Master of Arts, with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto.
The candidates will please step forward and please hold your applause until we have completed the hooding of all of the candidates. First, Ellie Konecki. Patrick James Minato. Alex Keinbaum. The Master of Arts graduates may now move your tassels to the left. Will the candidates for the degree of Master of Arts in Deaconess Studies please rise? President Rast, as Academic Dean, I hereby certify that the candidates for the degree of Master of Arts in Deaconess Studies, as listed in the commencement program, have satisfactorily completed or will complete during the summer sessions the requirements for graduation prescribed by the faculty and the Board of Regents of Concordia Theological Seminary. I present them to you by authorization of the faculty to be awarded the degree of Master of Arts in Deaconess Studies.
Upon the authorization of the faculty, with the concurrence of the Board of Regents, I, as President of Concordia Theological Seminary, hereby confer upon the candidates here presented the degree of Master of Arts in Deaconess Studies, with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto.
The candidates will please step forward. Patricia Lee Anderson. Cheryl Ann Cox. Rachel Christine Fakensher. Caitlin Elizabeth Lauer. All Master of Arts and Deaconess Studies graduates may now move your tassels to the left. Will the candidates for the degree of Master of Divinity please rise? President Rast, as Academic Dean, I hereby certify that the candidates for the degree of Master of Divinity listed in the commencement program have satisfactorily completed or will complete during the summer sessions the requirements for graduation prescribed by the faculty and Board of Regents of Concordia Theological Seminary. I present them to you by authorization of the faculty to be awarded the degree Master of Divinity.
Upon the authorization of the faculty, with the concurrence of the Board of Regents, I, as President of Concordia Theological Seminary, hereby confer upon the candidates here presented the degree of Master of Divinity, with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto.
The candidates will please step forward. Bradley David Akey. Philip John Allman. Adam Paul Ellis Barkley. Kevin Paul Belter. David Daniel Casey Motley. Rene Gonzalo Castello. Christopher Ryan Clark. Kurt Ryan Cochran. Thomas John Cowell. Jacob John Eichers. Eamon Michael Ferguson. George Fields. Philip Jordan Fishaber. Alexander Christian Garber IV. Willie Travis Grills. Stephen Mark Hackman. Justin Mark Hildebrand. Santi Keinbaum Sr. Matthew Christopher Koturba. Kelly Dean Krieg. Gabriel Joseph Martin. Nicholas DeBeer Martinez. Justin Daniel Massey. Kyle Allen McBee. Dean Rager. Eric Michael Rudzinski. Ryan Barkman Snyder. Richard Craig Stevens. Zachary Maxwell Voss. David Jordan Walsh. David Michael Wyrock. Timothy James Wilcoxon. Marcus Andrew Williams. Trenton Neil Wolberg. Aaron Emil Jaeger. Christopher James Jaeger. All Master of Divinity graduates may now move your tassels to the left.
Will the candidates for the degree of Master of Sacred Theology please rise? President Rest, as Dean of Graduate Studies, I present the candidates for the degree of Master of Sacred Theology. They have completed or will complete during the summer sessions all the requirements for the degree as prescribed by the Faculty and Board of Regents of Concordia Theological Seminary. I therefore recommend that they be awarded this degree.
Upon the recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me as president by the Board of Regents of this seminary, I hereby confer upon the candidates here presented the degree of Master of Sacred Theology with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto.
Will the candidates please step forward to be vested by his advisor and receive his degree? Jacob R. Herkamp. The biblical theological significance of the eschatological meal of Isaiah 25. Scott E. Johnson, The Doxological Imperative, An Assessment of the Eucharist After Radical Orthodoxy. James Colley, Seth A. Miroff. Will the candidates for the degree of Doctor of Ministry please rise? President Rest, as Dean of Graduate Studies, I present the candidates for the degree of Doctor of Ministry. They have satisfactorily completed or will complete during the summer sessions all of the requirements for the degree as prescribed by the Faculty and Board of Regents of Concordia Theological Seminary. I therefore recommend that they be awarded this degree.
Upon recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me as president by the Board of Regents of this seminary, I hereby confer upon the candidates here presented the degree of Doctor of Ministry with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto.
The candidates will please step forward to be vested individually by their advisor and receive his degree. Kyle D. Heck. A Christian Approach and Response to Same-Sex Attraction and Marriage in an Increasingly Secular and Hostile Context. Ross E. Johnson, Resources for Church Leaders After a Tragedy Strikes Their Community. House Uan Kap Manlun, Impact of Lifetime Ordination of Elders in the Pastoral Ministry Among the Zulu Churches of Northeast India. Rob W. Roloff, Cultural Identification and Establishing a Devotional Life, Essentials in Rural Outreach. Christian Tiefs, Improving New Member Catechesis and Integration at Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma, by means of a Lutheran catechumenate. Metiku Zeleke, Christian Discipleship and the Role of Parents, the Case of Hosanna Mekane Jesus Church in Ethiopia. Will the candidates for the degree of Doctor of Philosophy in Missiology please rise? President Rest, as Dean of Graduate Studies, I present the candidates for the degree of Doctor of Philosophy in Missiology. They have satisfactorily completed or will complete during the summer sessions all of the requirements for the degree as prescribed by the Faculty and Board of Regents of Concordia Theological Seminary. I therefore recommend that they be awarded this degree.
Upon recommendation of the faculty and by the authority vested in me as president by the Board of Regents of this seminary, I hereby confer upon the candidates here presented the degree of Doctor of Philosophy in Missiology with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto.
The candidates will please step forward to be vested individually by his advisor and receive his degree. Lalissa D. Gemetjes. An investigation into implications of confessional subscription on the understanding of the Triune God and Church Fellowship in the EECMY. Jaewo Jeong, the study of the post-conversion worldview allegiance among overseas Chinese with a special reference to ancestor worship. Martin M. Munyao, linking ancient Mediterranean with contemporary Kenyan pivotal values of honor, shame, a missional appraisal of Baptist theology in Kenya through honor, shame lenses. Yihun Shin, the plausibility of bilingual Korean churches in the Midwest region of the United States, a phenomenological study of attitudes among Korean senior pastors. Don C. Wiley, the place of honor, shame in the Lutheran understanding of justification, a biblical and confessional assessment of the honor, shame dynamic and Lutheran missiology.
President Rast, Dr. Anthony Esselin of Providence, Rhode Island is unable to be with us today. Anthony Esselin has an impeccable academic training, receiving his bachelor's degree from Princeton University, summa cum laude, and his PhD from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Serving as professor of English at Providence College for several years, Dr. Esselin is not able to be with us because he is leaving that institution soon to take up a teaching post at Thomas More College in Merrimack, New Hampshire, where he will help inaugurate their Center for the Renewal of Culture. He is an esteemed scholar and translator and has become one of our nation's most astute cultural critics, speaking and writing boldly in defense of life, marriage, and our Christian cultural heritage, even in the face of opposition that has arisen to his Christian witness. Dr. Esselin is a prolific author and translator of over 20 books. He is widely praised for his translation of Dante's Divine Comedy, as well as Dante's Inferno, Purgatory, and Paradise. And in his writing, Esselin has set for himself the huge task, of helping rebuild our fallen culture, especially in his most recent book, Out of the Ashes, Rebuilding American Culture. Particularly interested in the education of our youth, he offered Life Under Compulsion, 10 Ways to Destroy the Imagination of Your Child. His critiques of our educational system have helped to foster movements in rediscovering and rebuilding our cultural heritage. His book, Defending Marriage, 12 Arguments for Sanity, uses literature and history to explore the cultural value of biblical marriage and the ways in which same-sex unions and homosexuality have taken a toll on our culture. Long an iconoclast, he authored The Politically Incorrect Guide to Western Civilization. A great lover of the church and her traditions, he recently wrote Real Music, A Guide to the Timeless Hymns of the Church. He is a regular writer for several publications, including Touchstone, Crisis Magazine, The Catholic Thing, Public Discourse, Chronicles, and several others. He has become well known among Lutherans, including being a favorite speaker to LCMS pastors gathered at doxology retreats. He has encouraged traditional creedal Christians to work and think together in opposition to the secular left. His marriage to Deborah has been blessed with 2 children, David and Jessica. My colleague, Dr. Peter Scare, whom I consider the most insightful purveyor and critic of culture on our faculty, shared with me this assessment of Dr. Esselin. Quote, "With the wit of G.K. Chesterton and the winsomeness of C.S. Lewis, Anthony Esselin is perhaps the best and most influential Christian writer of our time. The breadth and depth of his knowledge is rarely matched. His writings are both simple and profound. In an age in which the dignity of our humanity is under such heavy assault, Esselin calls us back to our heritage, to drink from deeper roots, to draw upon the treasures neglected but close at hand. A lover of truth, Esselin calls us back to the things that are real, to faith and family, to the primacy of love that is found in Christ and Christ alone." End of quote. President Rast, for his incisive critique of cultural trends and his untiring testimony to our Christian heritage as hope for the future, even in the face of opposition and persecution, for his commitment to the education of young people through his writing and service as a college professor, for his bold speaking and writing in defense of life and biblical marriage, and for his encouragement of Christians, including LCMS pastors and parishioners, to be light in this dark world by testifying to God's love in Christ, the faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary, with the concurrence of the Board of Regents, recommends that Dr. Anthony Esselin receive the degree of Doctor of Humane Letters, honoris causa.
As President of Concordia Theological Seminary, upon the recommendation and with the concurrence of the faculty and with the concurrence of the Board of Regents, It is my joyful privilege to confer the degree of Doctor of Humane Letters, honoris causa, with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto, upon Dr. Anthony Esselin.
President Rast, I present to you the Reverend Dr. Gottfried Martens of Berlin, Germany. From the motherland of the Reformation, Gottfried Martens entered God's kingdom and became a Lutheran shortly after birth when he was reborn through holy baptism at St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Hanover, Germany. He was confirmed at St. Martin's Lutheran Church in Remscheid. After completing his high school education in 1981, he embarked on several years of theological studies, beginning with 2 years at Lutherische Theologische Hochschule in Oberursel and also at Philosophische Theologische Hochschule St. Georgen in Frankfurt am Main. He then spent a very formative year, which he already spoke of in his address, a formative year of study abroad at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, in 1983-84, studying with the likes of Dr. Robert Preuss, Dr. David Scare, Dr. Kurt Marquardt, Dr. Dean Wenthe, and Dr. James Vels. This was followed by 2 years of studies at Erlangen University, doctoral studies, and then the completion of his studies at Oberursel in 1986-87. He was a teaching assistant at the Oberursel Seminary from 1988-1990, and in 1990 completed his highly respected doctoral dissertation on ecumenical discussions of the doctrine of justification, published by Van den Hoek and Ruprecht in Göttingen in 1992. After a year of vicarage in Essen, he was called as pastor of St. Mary's Lutheran Church in Berlin, Zehlendorf, where he served from 1991 to 2013. During that time, he was doing mission outreach among Russian-German immigrants, as he spoke about this morning, as well as, later in that ministry, refugees from both Iran and Afghanistan. He began a new mission project, which he also spoke about in 2013, for Farsi and Dari-speaking refugees. Indeed, he had to learn those languages, in addition to all the others he knows. Which has grown into a congregation now known as Evangelische Lutheranische Dreieinigkeitsgemeinde in Berlin, Steglitz. This new congregation has 1,300 Farsi and Dari speaking members who have converted from Islam to Christianity and are worshiping as Lutherans. It is the fastest growing confessional Lutheran congregation in Germany. Pastor Gottfried's baptized 500 people alone last year. Reverend Dr. Martens, Gottfried Martens has served on the theology commission of the Selbstständige Evangelische Lutheranische Kirche, known as Selk in Our Midst, a confessional Lutheran denomination in Germany that is in fellowship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's also taught at the seminary there, at Oberursel. He has contributed as an editor to several journals, including Lutherische Beiträge, Logia, and Confessio Augustana. Bishop Hans-Jörg Voigt, who oversees Selk and is a friend of Dr. Martens, shared these words with me, and I quote, "The ministry of Dr. Martens is an amazing blessing for the many refugees from an Islamic background becoming catechized and baptized into the church. It is also a huge blessing for our entire church body to experience the inherent power of the Word of God at work. Several times I have visited his congregation and was deeply moved to see the eyes of the new members full of tears of joy during the Lord's Supper. The faith of these new Christians encourages our entire church body. But the window for this important mission may be limited. Our government is asking refugees their faith in order to send them back to their home countries, an action we are resisting. On a personal note, I truly rejoice that this faithful ministry of my longtime friend is being honored. Dr. Martins is offering his total life for the sake of Christ. End of quote. President Rast, for his unswerving commitment to the Holy Scriptures, as well as the Lutheran Confessions as a correct and faithful exposition of the Scriptures, as expressed through his theological studies, his writing, and his teaching at the seminary in Oberursel, for his 26 years of faithful service in parish ministry, characterized by a mission zeal to reach the lost from immigrant populations through catechesis, baptism, and participation in the divine service, and for the mercy and love of Christ that he has demonstrated day in, day out, and through the night in his care for refugees who have poured into Germany. The faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary, with the concurrence of the Board of Regents, recommends that the Reverend Dr. Gottfried Martins receive the degree of Doctor of Divinity, honoris causa.
As president of Concordia Theological Seminary, upon the recommendation of the faculty and with the concurrence of the Board of Regents, it is my joyful privilege to confer the degree of Doctor of Divinity, honoris causa, with all the rights and privileges pertaining thereto, upon the Reverend Dr. Gottfried Martins. Appropriate words, indeed. And one quote by Bishop Vogt struck me. Dr. Martins is offering his total life for the sake of Christ. We are also blessed to have here with us this evening faithful pastors who have offered their total lives for the sake of Christ. So I invite you to join me in honoring members of classes who have served between 5 and 70 years who are present with us. Gentlemen, please stand. As we near the conclusion of our evening, we are also happy to share with all those celebrating this evening words from our colleagues at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. President Dr. Dale Meyer writes the following. Dear graduates of Concordia Theological Seminary, what a great year to graduate and enter gospel ministry, the 500th anniversary of God's abundant gifts to us through the Reformation. Congratulations to you from the students, alumni, faculty, staff, and regents of Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. We are confident that your dedication and studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, have not been in vain, for all the promises of God are yes in Jesus Christ. Your past labors and those to come will be blessed by His Spirit and will bear eternal fruit. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, 3 through 6. That is true. You and Concordia Theological Seminary are regularly remembered in prayer by your brothers and sisters here at Concordia Seminary. This year, and God willing for years to come, you will wear the commemorative red stole. May it be a regular reminder of the brotherhood we share together in service and love to our Lord Jesus and His church. In him, Dale A. Meyer, President. And also from the President of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, Dr. Matthew C. Harrison. Dear graduates, I always thank God for you, remembering you always in my prayers. Philippians 1, 3 to 4. I am sorry that I was not able to attend the call services at either St. Louis or Fort Wayne this year. I have very much missed watching so many of you receive your first calls in the office of ministry and also as deaconesses. I was not with you because I was with my dying brother. He was pastored back into the church in the past several years by outstanding men, graduates of each seminary. Our thankfulness for these men is beyond description, and you shall be such pastors and deaconesses. Most of you are entering what is, despite our many challenges and weaknesses, the greatest ministerium in the world. This is especially true with respect to number, global breadth, and biblical and confessional fidelity to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You enter this service at a very critical time. May the gospel of free forgiveness in Christ's cross be your constant joy and motivation to proclaim what you know and have learned to those who need Jesus. You are baptized. It has been the goodwill of the Lord Himself to bring you to this very moment, and congregations across the land have confirmed the Lord's will with a divine call. Congratulations. And congratulations to all of you graduating tonight with various advanced degrees. May this milestone of the Lord's provision in your lives give you all the greater zeal to use your proven gifts in His service wherever you live and work. Jesus Himself said to His disciples, "I will give you a mouth and wisdom," Luke 21, 15. And He said also, "Lo, I am with you always," Matthew 28, 20. This applies to you now. I and the whole church rejoice with you and your families. Finally, congratulations to the leadership and faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary for another year of fine work. Your church is grateful. The Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison, President, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I have two final things to mention, both regarding our faculty. First, we have two new colleagues this year who have just finished their first academic year, Dr. Gary Zeroff and Dr. Benjamin Mays. I want to express my personal appreciation to these new colleagues and to all of our faculty for their fine and faithful service this past year in the classroom, in the church, and indeed around the world. Please join me in expressing my thanks to the seminary faculty. And second, if I may, I would ask that Dr. Weinrich and Dr. Buescher please step to the center. I am pleased to announce the establishment of a new endowed chair here at Concordia Theological Seminary at Fort Wayne due to the generosity of the parents of Dr. William C. Weinrich. In honor of Dr. Weinrich's parents, who are both with Christ now, it will be called the Carl and Irma Weinrich Chair in New Testament and Early Church Studies. Furthermore, our Board of Regents has just approved appointing Dr. James Buescher to be the Carl and Irma Weinrich Associate Professor of New Testament and Early Church Studies. We thank God for this generous gift that is a living testimony to the life in Christ that Carl and Irma Weinrich treasured. Please join me in congratulating Dr. Buescher upon being named as first to hold this chair. And now, as president of Concordia Theological Seminary, I hereby declare that the 171st academic year has come to a close. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.